Good morning. We've got a slim crowd here today, but that's still a good thing that we're here. You know, this time of year, everybody gets so excited, and there's a whole lot to look forward to at this time of year. It's Christmas time, and we all agree it is a time to be thankful and excited, and we have so much to be thankful for. And this is the time of year that we celebrate our Savior's birth. We celebrate the life of Christ, and we can be thankful that we live in a country where we can share the gospel and worship and celebrate the birth of Christ and the life of Christ without being oppressed or censored by our government. And what I'm going to do today is give you a message of hope. Because on December 25th, we do celebrate our Savior's birth. We celebrate Christ coming into this world. And I know everyone understands what they always say, the reason for the season. And don't forget that. But Bill said it right last week. I think it was last week. We need to celebrate Christ all year round, not just this time of year. And I feel like we celebrate and honor Christ here at this church each and every week and each and every day. But there are a lot of people out there who celebrate or at least acknowledges or knows about Christ and his birth. And they only celebrate and acknowledge him during this time of year. And here's the sad part. Most people don't know the true Christ. They don't know Christ the Savior. Christ the Redeemer, the Righteous One. They don't know the ever-powerful Christ. They reject and ignore his saving power. But let me tell you this, this is a time to be happy, and this is a time to be thankful. We're happy for Christ's birth, and we are so thankful and so grateful for the sacrifice that he made when he willingly laid down his life as that perfect substitute. Be thankful that God the Father sent his Son to be born, to live here, and die here. Just be thankful for that. Now, I've never gotten up here and said this, but this is something that's really been on my mind lately, and I thought I'd share it with you. I hear this all the time from people out there, and I just wanted to share it. With everyone these days wanting to be politically correct about everything, some people I know that I work with or that I socialize with, what they call Christian friends of mine, and it's more and more common these days, I hear people, and I want to quickly clarify, it's not people from here, but I'm around some that say there are many religions, and they'll start talking about Buddhist and Hindu and the Islamic faith, and the list goes on. But there are a lot of people out there that say that all of these religions, everybody's just going down their own religious path, and they'll all get to some destination, and they'll all get to heaven. And someone actually told me that earlier this week, and it really bothered me, because that's not the truth. It's not like we're all headed to Atlanta or some other destination on a trip, and we've got all these different ways to get there. You can take this road or that road, or you can go by car, airplane. But that's what false religion has taught people. And Christianity has been watered down. That's not Christianity, and that's not the true gospel. That's so far from the gospel. The only way to salvation is by the blood sacrifice of Christ the Lord. No other way, no other path. It says it right there in John 14:6. And this is Christ himself talking. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. saying that there are other ways is certainly not honoring the sacrifice that Christ made with his life. If there are other ways, then why did Christ have to die? I thought I'd say that because it's just been on my mind lately, and that's just something that's really been bothering me with all the watered-down talk that I hear now. But the title of today's message is Christ is Our Lord. And in today's message, I'll share with you scripture that will clearly identify Christ as the Savior and Christ as the Lord. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke 1, 26 through 37. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." This scripture right here describes in detail the truth of all truths. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Luke 2:11, the angel of God announces the birth of Christ, saying, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And in Acts 2:36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And in Philippians 2:9, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is the rock upon which all else rests. I breathed this morning by the grace of God. I got up this morning only by the grace of God. I certainly don't deserve it, and I know where I would be if God gave me what I deserve. Bill says it all the time. Where would we be if we really got what we deserved as a sinner? And I can promise you this, it is nowhere good. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. In Daniel chapter 4, scripture talks about Nebuchadnezzar. He talked about how great Babylon was, and he talked about all the great things that he had done. And the Lord put him under judgment. Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. He went out into the fields and lived like an animal. His hairs grew like eagle's feathers, and his fingernails grew like bird claws. And he was in very bad shape. And listen to what it says in Daniel 4:34 and 35. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Jesus Christ is Lord, not ought to be or should be. He is Lord. That's what the scripture says, and this is a truth that is misunderstood by so many people. And listen to this, man doesn't make Christ the Lord. Have you ever heard false preachers say this? I want you to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Just make him your Savior. Let me say this, man doesn't make Christ his Lord. Man bows to Christ, who is already Lord, whom the Father made Lord. Read in Acts 2:36. It says, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God the Father made him Lord. Men do not make Christ Lord. They bow to Christ as Lord. They submit to Christ as Lord. They worship Christ as Lord. But God Almighty already has made him Lord. Christ said in Matthew 28:18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The fact that Christ is Lord is not just some idea or some theory. Christ is Lord, and that's a fact. And any person without Christ as their Lord, as their surety, doesn't have life. And you see it all of the time. Someone gets upset or has something happen negative in their life. They've been drinking too much, or you fill in the blank. They decide to quit or change their ways. What does everybody say? They found religion. They got religion. Have you ever thought about this? A lot of churches. Somebody was just telling me a few weeks ago they had a revival. And they invite preachers in and they talk about heaven and hell. And they ask people, Don't you want to be saved? Well, of course they do. What do I have to do? That's what they ask. Do this or do that. Work your way to heaven. I met a guy at the gym maybe about a year and a half or 2 years ago. He started explaining his life story to me. In and out of jail all of his life. He found Christ, cleaned himself up. This guy accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, made a profession of faith. He let Christ into his heart. Now this guy says he's been out saving souls. Listen, man can't save anything. Only Christ can save souls. And for any man to state that he's out saving souls is blasphemy. Anyway, these churches say this, come on down and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. They make that decision right there. They give up something here. They give up drinking. They start working. They work for their salvation. They get baptized, join the church, give their money. Then over time, life happens. They start going back to their old ways because we're all sinners. And I want to make myself very clear. It's great to be a good, moral person, and I think we should all do good things. But we shouldn't do good things as a condition of salvation. It's not because we want to be saved. We do these things because sinners that have been saved by the Holy Spirit, sinners saved by the blood of Christ alone, do those things out of grace and gratitude. It's a different motivation. You see, we don't do good things to gain salvation. We do good things because we have salvation. which was secured by a perfect substitute. But I'm still a sinner. And as good as I try to be, I sin all the time. Man can't make a decision for Christ. Christ makes the decisions. Man will believe in the day of his, God's power. It's right there in Scripture. No one will be or ever has been redeemed by walking an aisle. God's sheep, the elect, were redeemed at the cross when Christ shed his blood. Most people that walk down that religious road, saving themselves, will after a while just give up, because there is no redemption in a profession of faith. Redemption is in Christ the Lord, by his blood. Christ said in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Most people would ask, "Well, how can you tell who those false prophets are?" And Christ goes ahead and answers that in verse 16. He said, "You shall know them by your fruit, by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" What he's saying is, what do apple trees produce? They produce apples. And what do false preachers produce? False converts. There's no way of salvation apart from the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Think about the thief on the cross, sitting up there next to Christ. That thief is with Christ in heaven, and it's all because of the blood of Christ. Christ is our friend. He is our counselor. He is our example. He is our God, and Christ is our Lord. Here's what most people say: "One day I'll get it right. I'll make it right with God, and I'll let him into my heart, and I'll accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'll turn over a new leaf." That's not how things work. God is not in your hands. Christ is not in your hands for you to do and to manipulate him whenever and however you choose to do so. If Christ was in the natural sinner's hands, he'd nail him to the cross, because that's exactly what happened over 2,000 years ago when Christ walked this earth. That's right, and if anyone tells you different, they're misleading and deceiving you. The question is not what will you do with Jesus. We all know what Scripture says unregenerate sinners will do. They'll crucify him. That's it, because that's what every natural man will do with Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's what they will do with the Savior. This is the same Christ that said in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." And this Christ who said in John 5:21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." And the Christ who said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Listen, Christ was here on earth. This is what they did to him. They spit in his face and said, "Nail him to the cross." But here's the good news. Christ is on a throne. In Hebrews 10:11-13, it says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." It's talking about the works of a sinner's hands. They can never take away sins. But here's the good news. Verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He offered his life for those that were set apart." Listen, all we can do is be thankful for that blood sacrifice. Be thankful that Christ came into this world and established a righteousness that we could never produce. And be thankful that when he died on that cross, that he paid the sin debt owed for the sins of his sheep, his elect. Because without Christ the Lord, we would spend an eternity in separation as lost sinners. So this time of year is a wonderful season. But let's not only celebrate the birth of Christ, let's celebrate all of his life. Let's celebrate all that he did and all that he came and accomplished. It is so much to be thankful for.